If you're the sort of person that wants to know where our preaching is going over the next year, I put it out in the letter, but just so you know, this coming term, starting when we first Sunday over there at the school, we're going to do a 9-week series on Revelation. And because it's one of the most exciting books that you can read, and it's not all about dragons and beasts and fiery brass-capped teeth and all sorts of weird stuff like that. It basically is the story of saying that, do you know what? Things might be going uncertainly at the moment, but God is in control. Amen. And he came once to save, and he'll come again to judge. And it's basically just a story saying, no, it's okay. God is sitting on the throne. That's what we're going to do this spring term. And then in the summer term, we're going to do a series. I think we're going to do a series called Him Possible, H-I-M, Possible. And it's the story. We're going to look at as many stories in the Bible about the God of the breakthrough. When it was a seemingly impossible situation, but God broke through and did something extraordinary and wonderful. We're also going to try and we're going to look about doing a Father's Heart mini conference this term. Sorry, in the summer term as well. It'll be a one day. So we'll do a conference on the Sunday and then it'll carry on for the rest of the day. So it'll be an afternoon and an evening session as well. Then over the summer, we're going to do a series called Him Possible, which is not H-I-M, but H-Y-M-N. And we're just going to unpack some of the theology of some of the songs that we love singing. And we're going to do that over the summer Sundays. And then in the autumn term, we're going to do a series called Love Matters. And it's just basically exploring, like, in a sort of sex-saturated society, the biblical view of love and sex and marriage and all those sorts of things. So we're going to try it. Jules is really excited about doing that. But we want to look at it. We want to try and understand it and grapple with that. And I think we're going to... I listened to... The King's Arms did a sermon on transgender. And I just thought it was the most helpful talk I'd heard on transgender, which is so sort of like prevalent at the moment. And it was really unequivocal in standing hold to the biblical truth of God created as male and female. But it wasn't this, it was a two-winged bird, but at the same time being loving and gracious and speaking about it with gentleness, but not holding back on what the truth of the God of the Bible is. So that's where we're going to go. I hope we'll see how it goes. If you can, if you've got your Bibles, can you turn, please, to Acts chapter 13? And I should do it as well. Beginning of the year, we always try and do a little bit that just pulls together some of the themes for the year. And trust to get a little bit of direction for where we're going. And then obviously we will start our series in Revelation in 2 weeks' time. Acts chapter 13 and verses 1-3. It says this. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. I so love this passage. It's one of those passages that I sort of come back to quite frequently if I can, because I just love the way that it talks about how the church was structured. And what I want to do is just to pull out some brief things from this passage about what it could be like for us going into 2020. A few things just to describe the church, just to sort of to kick us off there. You can say that this church at Antioch had many different gifted people in there. There were lots of people. There were teachers. There were prophets. There were lots of different talented people in there. It was an encouraging church to be, because Barnabas, who was known as the great encourager, he was part of this church. So you could imagine it would be a church where if you did something right, somebody would spot it and they would tell you. If you did something wrong, they would be full of grace. But they were an encouraging church. They always were the church that released people. They were a multicultural church. They had many different nationalities in there. So Antioch was in Turkey, so they would have Turkish leaders. They had this guy called Simeon. He was obviously a black African church leader. And then they had this other guy from Lucius, from Cyrene. He was, I think, And they also had, Barnabas was from Cyprus, Lucius was from North Africa. So they had this broad range of different cultures within the church, and they were influential. They had people in there of influence. They had this guy called Manion, who was a, it says in some Bibles, he was a childhood friend of Herod the Tetrarch. And as well as that, they were a growing church. If you look in Acts 11, it says they were just growing. There was lots and lots of stuff going on in this church in Antioch. One of the things that I thought was quite interesting is it says there were prophets and teachers in the church. And sometimes when you have prophets and teachers, you almost want to think, okay, well, what is it that they will say? But did you notice when it was that God spoke to the prophets and the teachers? When they were praying and fasting. So it wasn't like that they were the experts and they were the ones that were just doing everything and then coming down and telling everybody, yes, this is what the Lord says, this is what... No, but they were all in it. They were worshiping and they were praying together and they were sort of encouraging. And in that mix there, God spoke to them. God spoke to them during an extended time of prayer and worship. And the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. And it just marked a whole new era for this church in Antioch. It was this fantastic, I would really love to be part of this church in Antioch, because it was just growing, there was lots of stuff going on. And then suddenly they said, now what I want you to do is, I want you to start sending people away. I want you to get Paul and Barnabas, and they laid hands on them, and I want you to go. And it marked a new era of the church not just being about their new community, but about sending them out. And then they went back into Cyprus, which is where Barnabas was from. And then the whole sort of, like, it was Paul's first missionary journey. Now, actually, the reality is Paul and Barnabas later had a falling out, which was, you don't really want to sort of go there, but basically they had a falling out over another guy called Mark, and Barnabas, who was the great, Mark had basically welched out at some point. When they got to a really difficult bit in the hills of Turkey, Mark had said, no, I'm not really built for this, I'm going to go back home. Barnabas later on said to Paul, I want Mark to come along with us. And Paul said, no, I'm not having him. No way, he welched out on us. So Paul stood true to his convictions, but Barnabas was this encourager. He said, no, I want to give him a second chance. And so what happened was, actually, Paul and Barnabas went separate ways. Was that a negative thing? Well, in some ways, but what happened was you then had two teams reaching out to the Gentiles. And the church grew and became established. It was this wonderful moment when I think God began to shape a vision within the church in Antioch of sending people out, preaching the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, serving the poor. And you know, I really hope that there is something of that within us at Trinity for 2020. I really hope there is something of God like leading us and taking us. And I read this very, very well-known verse from Proverbs 29, verse 18, and it talks about vision. And it says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. And there was this something of, unless we've got something clearly that we're going for 2020, we'll all be sort of like doing all sorts of other things, and we're going and doing weird and wonderful things. No, but God has called us to something. God has called us to something really, really clearly. And I believe that there is something, even moving over to St. James's School, it's not just about a nicer venue. Well, I don't think it is a nicer venue, because this is pretty nice at the moment. And I don't really want all the Christmas decorations to come down, Michelle, if I'm really honest, but they will come down later on today. But there is something about the prophetic call of who we are as a people. Not just to stay as we are. And sometimes I think, I was praying about it this morning, I think God sometimes pushes us up through our reluctance to grow. That is what I have felt. And God is saying, no, come on, Duncan, how many things do I have to do to show you that I want you to grow? I've got more. I've got more in 2020 than I have for you in 2019. Amen. There is more. I believe that God spoke to us and said, look, I want you to be a church of 200 kingdom-minded people that plant, grow, and encourage churches across North London, Europe, and beyond. Amen. And you know, that started, it didn't start last week or like last year or two. That started, I've mentioned this a few times. The first Sunday that we met as a church back in the 11th of April 2003, long time ago, a long, long time ago, I stood up and said virtually the same thing. Virtually the same thing. But you know what? We've never had a venue. I said to somebody, oh, I think we on a Sunday morning, we might be like 120, 125 people. And he said, well, I know that you are already then a church of 200. Because he said, because not everybody, do you understand that? Not everybody comes to church every week. I know, I don't understand that either, really. Don't get that. But they said, no, you probably are a church of 200 already. But I felt God say, no, we want to be a church that meets with 200 people. With 200 in the room, together, worshipping. I felt there was something God prophetically spoke that to us because then it brings something and it gives momentum to the gospel. And I think, no, we're going to press into it. I think I've slightly lost my notes, but anyway. I did a flow chart. I just sat down and was reading my Bible and did Ephesians chapter 3. And you know that Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21, when it says, I will do far more than you could ever hope or expect. And I thought, well, how does that happen? And it's do a flow chart. If you ever work out in flow charts, I did a flow chart and started with the end goal was God will do more than you could hope or expect. And then do a flow chart and go backwards and say, what is it you put in? What happens before? What happens before? What happens? What feeds into that? Do you know where it all starts? Read it. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. It starts with this. One, know you're a part of God's family. Amen. Two, bow down and worship your Heavenly Father. You set in train a series of events. If you will do that, if we will do that, you set in train a series of events. You just go down, read it. It's one of the longest sentences in the whole Bible, I think, because it just goes on and on. But it's, and it ends up, and God says this, and I promise I will do more than you could hope or imagine. And that is what I think we are longing for 2020. Okay, so let me just say really quickly, from these verses here, well, I've just got four things very quickly that I think from these verses that we can learn for 2020. The first was this, as they were praying and worshipping and fasting, it says the Holy Spirit spoke. I always, always want to ask the question, well, how did he do it? What did he do? Did he write it down? Were they just standing together having coffee afterwards and they thought, I think the Holy Spirit, who knows? But what I do know is this, the Holy Spirit led them. Do you know, sometimes doors just open for us. Doors just open. I want to tell you that one door that just opened for us is our connection with Pentonville Prison. That came primarily through Rock. That came, first of all, because a guy came to preach here. The guy that did, 80 Through the Bible in 80 Days or Through the Bible in 80 Tweets. And he came to preach it. And he said, I can't come that Sunday because I'm in Pentonville Prison. And I said, oh, that's quite interesting. What are you doing in Pentonville Prison? Blah, blah, blah. And then he said, I'll tell you the person I'll contact. Then we got in contact with Rock. Then Rock said, oh, come into prison. A door, I just need to let you know, is wide open for us in Pentonville Prison. We were there on last Sunday. It's a wide open door for us to be involved. And sometimes doors just open. The Holy Spirit leads just by doors sometimes opening, but other times God speaks. There's this like a door that just opens, but there are other times when there's this more almost like this foundational thing that God speaks, and there are prophetic words that just seem to last the test of time, and they won't go away. And I feel one of those things is this prophetic word that I felt God called us to be a church of 200 kingdom-minded people that plant, grow, and encourage churches in North London, Europe, and beyond. And it won't go away. And you think, no, there is. I believe that there is something that is happening. And so I think we just can't be 200 people in here unless we go to a multi-story sort of thing, and that's not really going to work. I'm not going to do that. We can't do it. Physically, it's impossible. And that all we could, I don't know, have a big marquee, but do you know the other day when we had the porta cabin out there, and then we suddenly remembered, I don't know if you remember, but Dawla, do you remember serving in the marquee out there? How long was it? It was cold. We had all the kids work in a tent out there for about a year. Was it a year? Too long. A year, but we did anything that we could. And then at one point, yeah, Dorla is rock hard because she did it. But we would do anything, and at one point we thought, oh, we must go. So we moved everybody over to Finchley, like 5 miles down the road. And it was, oh, we can't do that. And we were in a cinema, a public cinema, and we had kids running around in this public space. And we thought, oh no, have we lost? Okay, it was a good Sunday because we didn't lose any kids and no one died. You know, that was the limit of a good Sunday. But we went all the way over there because we thought God said something. And then suddenly we find out that they built us, and it's like 100 meters over there. It could not be a better venue. And I'm convinced that God is saying, please, overcome your reluctance to grow. Overcome it. Because I've got extraordinary things for us. And I think I'm saying this about the move over there because in one sense we're playing it down. It's just the venue. In another sense, I want to ramp it up because I believe that by doing that, we're stepping prophetically into what God spoke to us 17 years ago. 17 years ago. Well, that's quite a long wait. God, couldn't you have done it before? Well, I don't know why. Maybe we were just really stubborn and we had to learn something. I don't know. But all I know is now it's over there. We're going to move. And it's something God is going to do in our midst. And I just encourage us to own it. To be part of it. To be there. To be there. And I do think there is, you know, the first term when we move into a Sunday, just be there every Sunday. Don't wake up on a Sunday morning and think, I've got nothing else to do. I'll go to church. Just be there every Sunday. Be there. We're building something of momentum. And then the other question is, this is a little bit of an aside. Well, what do we do with this? What do we do with here? I don't know. I think there's loads of things we could do here. I just thought this morning, oh, would anyone like to do a soft play area in here? Sorry? Cafe. That was the other thing. Could we create a cafe in here? Yeah. A little cafe bar in here?
Oh, yeah.
Could we create a soft play thing so that mums and toddlers can, or parents or carers can come and have a place in Colindale where they can come and bring their kids into a church environment? I just let you know, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, I would do it really well. Yeah, sure. I'd do appallingly. But I just think somehow, you know, what have we got here now that we can bless our community, that we can make our community just a little bit more like heaven?
Amen.
What can we do? And it will only happen when we rise up and we say, yeah, no, I'll put my hand up. I'll do something. We've got these two coffee machines, haven't we, up there? Every time we go up there, they taunt me. Because there's like these barista coffee machines. I think, why are they doing sitting up there? But now, I don't know, we've got this cafe anyway. So many opportunities. So many opportunities. The church in Antioch, they started going out overseas. I need to let you know, we have never, ever, ever had so many open doors to get involved overseas. I promise you. If you want to get involved in a team out to Europe in 2020, you just have to let me know and we'll go. We've got contacts. We've got a church in Munich that we're working with really closely. We've got a church in Sweden that we took a team out to last year, and the leaders of that church are going to come over and preach here in February. We've got, it's just really exciting. I was out in Cyprus earlier last year, and actually they're saying, oh, can we just like connect with you? We've got connections all around churches in North London. And then I spoke yesterday to a guy called Martin Dunsford down in Southampton, and he said, Duncan, have you got any capacity to be involved with a church in Norway, in Oslo? And I'm thinking, no, but do you know what? I've got a church who has.
Yes, come on.
I've got a church who has. And I've got a church of people who will go out there and they will just build friendships. All you have to do is, sometimes you have to go out to some of these churches out on their own, and all you have to do is go and build friendship and be nice to them. That's all you have to do. And then you pray for them and you pray that the Spirit of God falls in their midst and then you bless them. That's how it works. Can I just ask you, in a moment, to put your hand up if you were able to build friendship with somebody and be nice to somebody else. Just put your hand up if you can do that. I'm looking at people who haven't got their hands up, to be fair. Okay, that's more okay. Right, you're in. Teams out to Europe. The doors are, like, I'm just having to say, like, no to situations. Because I think we can't do everything, but there are some things that we can do that are extraordinary opportunities at the moment. Those are sort of things in the church. The other thing is, I just need to ask you and say, what has God called you to do? Specifically, what has God called you to do? Ephesians 2:10 says what? God has prepared good works in advance for you to do. There's so many things in the church. What are the things that God has called you to do? Prophetically, what has God called you to do? Ife. God, where's Ife?
Kids work.
Oh, she's doing kids work. Well, Chris, I thought God's got for you and Ife to speak faith into people. And if I was really stoked when Ife was up praying earlier, and I thought, oh yeah, that's great. But no, I think you just need to speak faith. God is going to do things, amazing things through you. What are the things? And we're going to finish in a moment. But we're going to have time to pray. What are the things that God has spoken to you about? There is an abundance of things that you can do in the church, but that's not the end of the world. What has God called you to do to step out in faith? The next thing that it says here, one, they were led by the Holy Spirit. Two, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, set aside Paul and Barnabas because he'd got specific things. And then they laid hands on them. And it's like they connected them to the extraordinary power of God. This is what it says in Ephesians 1, verse 19. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. The same power when Jesus was dead in the tomb, that same spark of life that brought him back is the same power that is available to you and to me. And when we're praying for people, where's Kat? Is Kat just, how is your back? Is it, be totally honest, totally honest. Is it no better, a little bit better, or totally better? Okay, it's about the same, no better. We pray for Kath in her back because it's really painful. And I'm provoked sometimes. But I just think, God, I want you to move through us more and more. I want to know the power of God at work in our lives. Yesterday, I came back from, walking back from rugby. Saw Saracens just annihilate Worcester, but that's a different issue. And I was walking behind this couple, and the conversation, I so wanted to break in and just, like, pray for them, but she was saying things like, well, I don't know, I think she's just hanging around with more religious people at the moment. And they were walking along, and he was saying, well, what do you mean? What's it look like? I said, what? And she was just, I don't know, she's just, like, different. It's just, like, odd, she's just hanging around with all these religious people all of a sudden, and she's, like, different. And I so wanted to pray, it's Jesus! Jesus has done it! But I didn't, okay? But there's something, part of me that thinks, oh, I should have just said something. But part of me thought, no, the power of God is increasing. There are more people who are just asking these questions. And I think, no, I want to be in the mix. I want to be going to a rugby club and talking to people. In fact, the other thing is, the guys who sit behind me in the rugby, and I had to tell them to stop swearing at some point because there was a kid in front of them. But they took it, it's fine. But even then, they're saying, oh, he's a born-again Christian. I don't care. It's not a problem. they're actually mates of a mate of mine. But I want to be in the mix. In the mix and thinking, I want people to say, oh, no. I don't want somebody to say, oh, yeah, Duncan, he's a born-again Christian. I want people to say, oh, there's something of the power of God about him. And I just need to let you know, I want to be more hungry for that than I was last year. Please, Lord, make me more hungry. You know, the other day, Pete Thomas was preaching, and he said something like, sometimes we can snack on other things when actually we should be feeding on God. And I thought, I'm probably a little bit guilty of snacking on other things. You know, just things that take my time and think, no, I want to be hungry hungry for God. The third thing that they did was, in this church in Antioch, there was just a sense of a releasing atmosphere. Do you know, Paul and Barnabas, okay, you go out to Cyprus, then you go beyond and you reach the Gentiles. And I thought, oh, what a great attitude and heart that is. It's not just about gathering everyone to us here, but it's about sending people out and releasing people into the fullness of God. And I think they got the balance right. And they were able to do that well because that church was growing and because there was real momentum and there was a real sense of people gathering in. And I think they got the balance right of building and sending. And we need to do that as well. And sometimes the temptation is to do one or the other. And sometimes if the building isn't going very well, it gets a little bit more exciting just to send lots of people. But we can't do that. We have to do both. We have to build really well. Thank you for everyone who stepped in to serving teams. If you're not in a serving team, there's always space for you. But we're increasing those teams because we want to build well over 2020. We want to build well over there. We want to be building towards 200 people. There are more that we could... There's more that I could say on that. But we do want to be a culture where we are encouraging and releasing one another. The last thing is that when Paul and Barnabas were sent off to Cyprus, they changed the Gentile world. They changed the Gentile world. And then their missionary story. And I just feel there's something of a growing sense of faith that when we actively and intentionally step into all that God has for us for 2020... He will change the world of London and Colindale and Harrow and Barnet. And he will change some of these other places in Europe that we're involved in. Because men and women and young people and kids step in full of faith. Can I ask you to stand? It would be great if a band could come back up. Thank you. The Holy Spirit is going to come right now and fill with power anybody who has made a decision to follow Jesus and has confessed their sins and is hungry for the power of God. If you've decided to follow Jesus, if you've confessed your sins, and if you are hungry, God is going to move in power now. In power now. And I want to give just a moment. If you have never decided to follow Jesus, to give your life to him, now is a moment to say, Jesus, just like those men and women of old, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be your disciple. I'm going to do what you say. And whether it's for the first time or the umpteenth time, just for a moment, I'm in quietness, I just want you to say, God, I confess my sin. I confess my sin. The most extraordinary thing is this. The most mind-shatteringly awesome thing is this. That God takes sinners and forgives them.
Amen.
And you come here this morning thinking, ah, my life is so bad. You don't know what I've done. No, you're right, but Jesus does. And he died on the cross for that sin. You might be free. It's almost too good. And so, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we confess our sin before you. But you don't just leave us there, but I want to thank you, oh God, that now you restore us, you bring hope, you bring joy, you bring purpose, you bring life. And I want to ask now, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us with power from on high? I want to pray for every situation that we go into tomorrow, this afternoon, every work context, every relational context, every situation with our finances, every situation in our home life. We say, come now and fill us with your power from on high. We want to be like men of Paul and Barnabas, who moved out from a church and the power of God was at work and people were healed and people were restored and the church was birthed and the church arose victorious and glorious. And we say, come Holy Spirit right now. Come Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit. And I believe now that God is just going to be dropping seeds of thoughts. And you'll go back and you'll think, was that just my idea? Let me just say, no, the Holy Spirit just drops seeds of thoughts into your life. What would happen if I did this? Or what would happen if I said this? Or what would happen if I believed what the Bible said? What would happen? Right now, God is planting seeds in your life. Seeds of life, of joy, of stepping into the goodness of God, of stepping into His provision, of trusting Him afresh. Come on, Lord.